Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here today, and I want to welcome our guests with us this morning as well, some from the town and some from the Holy Land of Texas. And I think Kansas as well, right? Yeah. Not as holy as Texas. So, so today's service. Now, it's been on my mind. You know, last year we had several prayer meetings. It's been on my mind to have a time of prayer for our nation and have another one of those prayer meetings. I thought yesterday, oh my goodness, you know, isn't the world going crazy? So today I decided to do something different. So I set aside my sermon that I've written for today, and instead we're going to have more of a focus on prayer. So we'll have some Bible reading with a short devotion after three sets. Short devotion after each with a short time of silent prayer, and then I will lead prayer. And because of that, I just like to add confusion to your life. So don't even bother with the bulletin until we get to the service of the sacrament, if you have any printed bulletin. Otherwise, I invite you to to open your hymnal and put your yellow ribbon on page 203. Put your red ribbon on page 288. Other announcements for this day. We have the fabric and craft sale coming up July 19th and 20th, so please come and participate in that. And if you have anything to donate, please do so. Higher Things Youth Gathering trip will be coming up this week, so I'll be taking a few of the youth down for the Higher Things Gathering in Arkansas. Open Hand Mission to Blind is going to meet Thursday at noon. We'll have a quick VBS. Christmas in July is the theme, and that's going to be on July the 31st. Also, I want to thank Dick for getting our directories together. And several were out in the fellowship hall, and if they're all gone, don't worry about it, because we're going to put more out. We'll put more out next week. Okay? With that, then, I believe that will cover our announcements. Let's go ahead, start with a moment of silence, and then we'll move into our opening. We continue with hymn 733.
Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shame.
3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But we fear there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we're gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word by His authority, in His stead, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. These are fantastic passages of Scripture. Consider the Daniel passage and how utterly, utterly confusing and perplexing it would have been as Daniel penned those words hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. Because we have someone who is like a son of man. Well, who are you if you're like a son of man? A son of man is a son of Adam. A son of Adam is a human. How can that be that this one, like a son of man, approaches the eternal Father, and the Father gives him divine authority over every kingdom, he now being King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and having an everlasting dominion? That makes no sense until you come to the incarnation, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it kind of reminds me, I think, when it comes to our eschatology, to the last days, we'll know a lot more when we see it coming. But consider also the Isaiah passage that speaks to the greatness and power of God as it does the greatness and power of the Son of Man in Daniel. Here it emphasizes this, that God not only knows the end from the beginning, but God declares the end from the beginning. That God is not weak and powerless, but all things happen under his will, either his permissive will or in his active will. He says, my purposes will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. We do not worship a God of the pagans who is powerless. We worship the sovereign Lord, and that is comforting to us. When the sun shines, our God reigns. And when darkness comes, our God reigns. When death strikes near, our God reigns. And when the economy tanks, our God reigns. When political intrigue, political violence erupts, our God reigns. When a marriage is in crisis, our God reigns. When the bills outstrip what we earn, our God reigns. When war is on the horizon, our God reigns. When Christ was nailed to the cross and there died for the penalty of your sins, our God was reigning. When the gospel spreads throughout the world, our God is reigning. And when Christ returns in glory, we will see with our own eyes and voice with joyous praises that our God reigns. Our God reigns. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And that means that God is our anchor of hope. The world doesn't have an anchor of hope, but you do. Through everything, you have a Lord God who is sovereign over everything, who created the heavens and the earth, and who rules the nations. God is never caught off guard. Nothing is unpredictable to him. He is the one that holds not just our future, but our present. Darkness does not, death does not, politics do not, marriage crisis does not, bills do not, war does not. God does, and thus our hope is like an anchor, because our hope is always in the sovereign God. So I invite you to have a moment of silent prayer to our sovereign Lord. Circumstances of life seem to overwhelm us at times, but they can't overcome you. You cannot be thwarted. Your will cannot be negated. And thus, we believe your good desire will be accomplished in us, though the devil rages around us. The Son of Man is given dominion, and God declares the end from the beginning. We have hope like an anchor. It is you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil course of action. Support us in defending our liberties, and give those to whom we have entrusted the authority of government the spirit of wisdom, that there may be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, may our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our second reading comes from Judges chapter 17. It reads this way: Now there was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver which were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse in my hearing, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be my son by Yahweh." He then returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, "I wholly dedicate the silver from my hand to the Lord, for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will return them to you." So when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made them into graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And then Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and consecrated one of his sons that he might become his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. We have here in Judges a period of time before the kings come to the throne in Israel and in Judah. And what's presented before us in Judges chapter 17 is an utterly absurd, ridiculous, and comical situation. There you have a man named Micah who sets himself up as a self-appointed religious leader. It's as though he's starting a new religious system, and he even makes priestly garments to be worn in his shrine. He steals from his mother to get it started, right? Steal from your mother to start a so-called holy place, and dear mother becomes an enabler. Oh, son, isn't it wonderful? You gave back the silver. I'll give it to you. What a strange response. So she even gives the silver in order to make the false gods, the graven idol and the molten idol. And all this is done under a lie, because they said they were doing it for Yahweh. They said they were doing it for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though the Lord God had said in Exodus chapter 20 that they are to have no other gods and that they are not to have graven images. And yet they do exactly the opposite of what God commands, but they do it in the name of the Lord. How ridiculous. The problem is simple. In those days, they were doing what was right in their own eyes, which frankly isn't far from what happens today. Every man, every woman, their own priest. Every man, every woman, their own private religion. The one that they make up with the themes and the doctrines that fit their own personality. That is our culture. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes, religiously and otherwise, whether that's a gunman on a roof, a couple living together, whether it's Christians being as mean-spirited, ugly, and vile, just like everybody else on social media. We don't do what is right in our own eyes. We do what the Lord has directed us to do. We aren't our own masters. You know that. We have a master. We're under God's grace, and we follow in the way of our Savior. And so we, as God's people, deny ourselves, and we understand that that is an important and crucial part of our religion that is absolutely necessary, that we deny ourselves, because we know ourselves not only to be saints through the forgiveness of God, but we know ourselves also to live in sinful bodies that cannot be given control over that which is good, righteous, and holy. We deny ourselves. Galatians says this: "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." And so it behooves the Christian not to go in the way of the world in any sense and in any place of life, including in politics, where we, instead of being the same followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, devour one another. Let us pray that God would give us devout hearts and sincere faith, that we do what is right in His eyes. I invite you to pray silently. O Lord, in all things, give us the wisdom to follow in your ways, and not in what is right in our own eyes. You have not left us ignorant of your will for us in this world, And when the world beckons us to join in such things as hate, violence, lust, and unbelief, give us the grace to follow the narrow path of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, I am astonished at the difference between what I receive and what I deserve. Between the heaven I am bound for and the hell I merit. We could not have begun to love you except that you first loved us and gave your Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. You have placed high honor on sinners that only deserve to be banished from your presence. Instead, you have made us sons and daughters of God in Christ. Help us to live up to the honor you have granted us by your unmerited kindness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our final reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. God, Jeremiah, speaks to Judah for God, saying, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, and to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from the nations and from all places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile." Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, is that prophet who was in the southern kingdom in Judah before, enduring, and a decade after the time when the Babylonians utterly destroyed Judah, utterly laid waste to the city of Jerusalem, warned the people. He pronounced the judgments of God upon them that were stern and fearful. And yet, despite their unfaithfulness, Jeremiah still proclaims hope to the nation that God will not cast off his people. They will be restored. God has plans of blessing, even though that blessing happened after great judgment. It is God we need to bless our own land. We deserve the wrath of God because so many have forsaken the Lord in our own country. So many have fallen into prideful immorality. And our laws teach us. I think we lose sight of that. Laws end up guiding and teaching people. And so they teach us that parents destroying life through abortion or marring it through sex, mutilation, drugs, and surgery is morally neutral, maybe even good. They teach us that marriage is to be taken lightly, and marriage is however you define it. Our laws teach us that God has no place in our schools, but rainbow flags and rainbow philosophies do. But we look to the Lord, for he who was gracious to Judah has been most gracious to us and blessed us richly through the centuries. Let us pray silently to the Lord. Turn our eyes to you, and we ask that you would plan for our welfare, that you would revive our land, that the light of the good news of Jesus, our Savior, would enliven many hearts, Do not turn from a nation that has turned from you far too often. Hear us, O God, and may your glory fill our nation and this congregation. Amen. This time I invite you to turn to that red ribbon, page 288. And we will continue with the litany. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers in your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall, to strengthen those who stand, to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all people concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our former President Donald Trump and our current President Joe Biden, and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. Especially we think of the family that mourns their loved one shot and killed at the rally. For those shot and injured, for those among us, Jen, Lee, Natalie, Linda, Cheryl, Jack, Lois, Joshua, Mary, Mark, Bill, Kathy, Grant Davis. For also those in the military, that they serve honorably and courageously, especially Roberto, Grady, Patrick, Colton, Clay, James, Zach. Lord, we pray to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessing, to defend all orphans and widows, provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, dear Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, dear Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
I invite you to turn to hymn number 953, and we will sing the Creedal Hymn. Name ever more praising you and saying, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord, we My soul, He does redeem. I
loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn.